Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be able to listen only until the question and answer portion of today's conference. To ask a question, please press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. I will now turn the conference over to Ms. Melissa Grosso. You may begin.
Great. Thank you very much, Julie, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is Melissa Grosso with the U.S. Department of Commerce's Middletown, Connecticut office. I'd like to welcome you all to today's conference call on working with federal and state policymakers, how to continue advocacy and communication during the COVID-19 crisis. And this is one in a series of conference calls that we've been holding over the last several weeks. Definitely encourage you to visit the website, the Connecticut District Export Council website, which has relevant information following up on all of the conference calls that we've had. And I'd like to thank our two speakers today, PJ Chimney and Patrick McCabe, both managing partners from Capital Strategies Group, which established in 1997. Capital Strategies Group is one of Connecticut's most highly ranked government relations firms, and the firm provides its clients both in Hartford and Washington, D.C., with a well-established expertise in lobbying and legislature, the executive branch, and cities and towns. PJ and Patrick, thank you so much for joining us. I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Melissa, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm PJ Chimney. I'm one of the partners here at Capital Strategies Group, and just want to introduce myself quickly and then have Pat to. I'm an attorney and have been in this part of the business for over 25 years now, dealing directly with state, federal, and local government here in Connecticut and in D.C.
And good afternoon, everyone. I'm Patrick McCabe, a very similar background to PJ's, actually. We've been partners for over 20 years. I'm also an attorney. We don't really practice traditional law in the traditional sense any longer, and have been doing government relations and politics and communications for over 25 years now.
Thanks, Pat. And let me first say a big thank you to Ann and Melissa for having this event more importantly, for the work you do every day. You know, during this time, it's pretty clear that our government employees who are often maligned don't get those thank yous. And so thank you very much for putting this together. And thank you to all of you for joining. First, I'd like to obviously acknowledge and recognize the most obvious point that we're living in a very challenging and unique time. Most of the fundamental assumptions we've worked with in our world, and I assume for many of you, are being challenged and thrown into a new model. So first, let me tell you what we're going to try and do today in this hour, and we will keep it respectfully to that hour, and tell you what this presentation is not. So we're going to explain to you, we're not going to explain to you the intricacies of federal law, the CARES Act, COVID. We're not going to tell you about the executive orders and give you all kinds of legal pointers. Ann's done a great job with her team of Tony and Melissa of putting that together, and I would recommend when you have those kind of specific questions to reach out to them. What we thought would be really effective today is, and interesting, quite frankly, to give you a little more perspective on what we're going through over the last 3 weeks and how it may be helpful to you, your business, and how you interact with government. It's pretty clear from this point on, government's going to play a very critical role in almost all of our lives and all of our businesses in ways that we didn't even and couldn't have imagined less than a month ago. For those of you who are interested, you know, after we will provide some of the links and references we're going to use in this presentation on the Connecticut District website, so you can go and look them up. You don't need to write them down. And we'll do a Q&A period after. More than happy to answer questions. Obviously, wanted to extend if there are more sensitive matters that you may have and would like to talk about. Pat and I would be more than happy to talk to you offline and help you with that. So I think, Pat, I'd start first with just a couple of assumptions and the current state of affairs of what we're going through. And just give you a lay of the land for the audience. First, understand that all of the elected and appointed and staff officials have been completely upended and their lives have been destabilized in ways they were not prepared to do. So don't be fooled by those, you know, very positive leadership announcements. They're stressed. They're under a lot of real challenges, and they're trying to relearn how to do a lot of their functions. One thing I do want to stress is we've been really blessed in Connecticut, and Pat and I talked to many of our counterparts around the country. I think we've been really lucky to have the team, both federal and state, that we have here. Governor's been doing an outstanding job of, I think what I'd call empathetic, strong leadership. And the federal folks have been really doing a great job of integrating into his leadership at the state level. So that collaborative approach has been really positive. At this point, 30 states have a variety of stay-at-home, essential, non-essential quarantine orders. 230 million people are directed to shelter in place. And so that means government, those folks that are either providing services or providing access for those folks, have been completely disrupted as well. Most importantly for your business, I guess, the ability to access a lot of these services, contacts, connections in this new way is going to be really important. So I guess before I start, Pat, do you want to add any sort of context to that? Great. I guess, okay, so I'll just continue, and then he and I will just...
I'm sorry, PJ, I was on mute. I didn't mean to be on mute.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, do you want to add anything? I mean, given our personal kind of what we've been...
I heard you. Yes. And I would just say, I just want to agree with just one kind of sort of consistent theme in what PJ has said, that we have seen communication with government officials in the last 3 weeks, traditional way of communicating with government officials, even given all of the technology we use in our business today, has really been upended, that it is a very different landscape. And that's why I think PJ thought this would be a good idea to talk to people about this. It's happening real time for us, so we're going to share things with you that are in some cases three weeks old and 3 days old. But I would say, and PJ did mention our state officials and federal officials, that this is a time, every time I have interacted with a government official over the last few weeks, and I think we all are guilty of taking certainly state workers here in Connecticut and federal workers sometimes for granted, we see the incredible importance of what they do many times at a time of crisis. And we're obviously seeing that today. And I've started every interaction by simply pointing that out to them and thanking them for all they're doing, in, as we all should. And so we're on front lines with the government all the time, but it doesn't always, you don't always recognize how vitally important these jobs are until you really need them. And I just, and so PJ, I'll let it go with that.
Yeah, very well said. Just to give you some perspective of what we were doing, and I think it's maybe informative, we had a fly-in scheduled with clients to Washington for, I think, mid-March or early April. That was sort of wiped out, but it literally was still in the plans, 3 weeks ago before everything broke. We obviously had state session here, so those of you who follow the Connecticut legislature, we were in session up to March 11th. They were just going to close the building for a few days, clean it, and we would be back, and those plans have been upended. And we probably will not be back before May 6th. That's our constitutional deadline. Pat and I had an opportunity to host the governor at a client on right around the time this was breaking because of their bioscience focus. And I think even then he has been dramatically challenged in ways I don't think he anticipated from that day. That was about 2.5 weeks ago. So we're operating in that world, and wanted to share that with you. So let me first say, despite what we all learned in grade school in our state and national constitutions, not all branches of government are created equal in crisis. We saw that here in America in 9/11. We saw it in Connecticut during the Sandy Hook tragedy. That when these things happen, everyone looks to the executive. The executive branch is by far more important. It has both executive powers that are constitutionally granted as well as practical how does government work powers. And so that is a lot of what I think you need to start thinking about is those agencies that you may work with, those that may have funding for you, that may actually be a contractor to. And that was one other point I think I wanted to make. We're going to try and present both those perspectives. I know many of you are direct government contractors, and so you may have a relationship that's quite different from a B2B business that has an interaction with state and federal government through either regulatory or approvals. And I think both of those have unique opportunities to connect with them. So real quick, just from the perspective of the federal government, obviously, all of them are trying to figure out how to work remotely right now. The elected Connecticut officials, who many of you know, we have our two U.S. senators, Senator Richard Blumenthal and Senator Chris Murphy, five U.S. Congress people, Rosa DeLauro, Joe Courtney, Jim Himes, John Larson, and Johanna Hayes. They are all operating remotely, both in Washington with their staffs and in the district. Both the agencies that they deal with are trying to figure out how to operate remotely. So we've been faced with and trying to manage issues for different clients and navigating that through these remote channels. At the state level, clearly, as I mentioned, the state legislature is shut. The 28 state agencies, for the most part, are trying to work remotely. You'll see some DOT, you'll see some public health, and those frontline workers, as Pat mentioned, really deserve an added debt of gratitude. Many of them are doing the Lord's work on this. State agency staff, for the most part, has been pushed out of the state buildings, and they're trying to work remotely. Some of those agencies had a lot of experience with remote working. Many agencies had field staff with laptops and VPNs. Many did not. I think one of the saving graces of our situation is DAS Commissioner Josh Jabal, who happens to be a very sophisticated technology leader in the private industry, took the job in Connecticut and overseeing the IT. And I think we've been really lucky to have his focus. The governor has appointed him now to be the COO, the chief operating officer of the entire state, and has been coordinating a lot of the COVID response. So one of the things we've heard from other states that's not working well is that state government staying connected. I think I give Commissioner Jabal a lot of credit for why Connecticut is doing well. Any thoughts on the state team and the federal?
For me, PJ?
Yeah.
So a little perspective on that. So from your perspective as someone who engages with government for your businesses, you're finding, as we are, it is, you know, certainly more difficult to communicate. There are channels that have been disrupted. But what is layered over this, because that's hard enough to do anyway, right? But what's layered over this, as PJ mentioned, is a breakdown in how legislative leaders, agency people communicate and work with each other. It has certainly not been seamless. And so when you're trying to get their attention to, work on something that you've been working on with them for months or whatever, and look, I think most agencies that we've talked to realize that government business has to go on and has to interface with private sector business, because the economy, to the extent that people are still able to work, needs to go on. It's secondary, but almost as important as dealing with the healthcare issue, right? Because if the economy stagnates too much, and we've all heard the arguments out there, we've got a much larger problem. But what we're finding challenging is that because they are so frustrated that they can't work through the normal channels they normally do, they're not as effective. And so they are therefore even more difficult to get their focus and their attention on things. And we're not talking about trying to, you know, get in front of the people who are dealing with the crisis out front. but, you know, rank-and-file people who have an agency to run, and we're still dealing with them on a number of normal issues, as you probably are. And so that's where you have to, I found, you've got to have some perspective and some patience and the right touch, not to push too hard, but also to recognize the issues that they're facing.
So a couple examples of how both federal and state are operating I thought would be helpful. So first at the federal level with the electeds, many, if not all, have had teletown halls. Some of you have probably got notice and participated in those. Those can be the conference call on the phone. Some have done Zoom calls with partners. Some have done more sort of direct small group reach outs to specific industries or entities. I'd recommend, if you can, get on all of those. Almost all have a question and answer period at the end, like we're going to do today. And it's a great opportunity to not drill into your deep issue, but to issue spot it for the elected person with their staff on the line as well. So one thing I've seen that was very effective this week was during one of the conference calls, Congressman Courtney's call. He had, I think, 4,000 people on the call. A company representative was able to get in the queue for the question, and I thought did a great job of strategically raising the issue so they were aware of it, not going into all the details, but raised it in a way that the congressperson recognized it and said, great, thank you for letting us know. I'll get my staff right on that. Great opportunity that didn't exist 3 weeks ago to really connect directly with them. So we look at some of those options. Staff, email has become extremely important. I know we've all gotten more used to it. I don't think Pat and I are even using the phone direct other than cell phones, so landlines are not going to work in this period, nor should they. It is email, 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 and then cell phone. So staff at both the congressional and state level are furiously sending emails and CCing people. One little tip I'd recommend that we've been found very helpful is to keep a broader group in the CC line. So you may have a specific question to an agency. In the past, we probably would never have CC'd a commissioner or a deputy commissioner or an agency head. We're doing that now. I think it's seen as proper etiquette, and they can clearly take themselves off or hit reply all, and we found that very effective. Internally, the governor is having conference calls with the federal delegation, with state government, the leaders, the General Assembly, the Judicial Department, the agencies, and doing a lot of that virtually, which I think, again, I want to compliment our governor selfishly. We've got a very engaged governor on that front, and he's looked to these new communication tools as an opportunity, and it's been very positive. We'd like to jump now to just foreign. We have some foreign companies on this call, I know, because they did reach out to us. Pat and I do some work with them, the inbound work, and so this may not be connected to those in Connecticut looking to export, but for those of you that are facing challenges inward, we are recommending and have had some success in dealing with existing entities in the U.S., particularly for us in Ireland and Italy that we've worked with. I recommend, you know, work with Enterprise Ireland out of Ireland. Reach out to them. They've been very helpful. And even some of the other trade groups, the IIBN, which is the International Ireland Business Network, and even the embassy staff and others. And in Italy, definitely work with your U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Many of the Italian Chambers of Commerce here are effective. Some of you may know also we have a member of Parliament from Italy that is in Connecticut, and we've included her in things, as well as the honorary consuls from Italy have been effective. So for those of you here, I guess, in the U.S., we were thinking about tools, strategies, things that we have been dealing with that may be helpful to you. You know, obviously, we've talked a lot about email, cell phones. One thing I just want to spot, because this may not be sort of understood in our world, we spent a lot of time over our last 20 years building up this inventory of information. So we keep a very detailed list of government emails of individuals, cell phones, personal emails that we acquire over the years. And I have to say it's been really helpful in this area. Those of you who don't have those built up but need access to certain people, we're going to give you some examples of where you can go to get those government resources. So the state has a very robust and active and accurate email list. You just got to know where to go to get it and how to access it, and so we'll provide that in the link, as well as some of the phone numbers and all. I'd also highly recommend for the state focus, if you're interested or have issues related to the state, another kudos to Josh and Governor Lamont, the coronavirus webpage has been a really great funnel of information for all of this, and I think they got it up quick. Agencies have been feeding information, and so instead of your needing to hunt and peck around and find everything, it's a great tool. We'll also provide that link. One other thing I just want to stress is, you know, how do you access these folks when you need them? My loan's coming due. My permit's up. Something happened. Test the connectivity now. If you don't always do that, you know, don't wait till that issue happens. Send them a quick email right now. In fact, Pat, I think, is a great example. Send them an email, say thanks. Hey, thanks for everything you're doing. One, they'll probably really appreciate it. Two, you'll see if that email is connected and they're sitting and working on that. And I think it's a good way to ensure you have the ability to connect now and not when you have a crisis or you're in a need for that. Obviously, I think, Pat, I wanted to stress the social media. We're two old-timers in terms of social media. I've been dragged kicking and screaming into the world by my kids. But it has become a very effective and very important tool for our clients right now. Members are doing Facebook Live events where they have some interaction. Twitter has been a really helpful tool to stay on top of your agency that may be your regulator or your funder. I would recommend setting that up. One of the tools we have done is we had to set up a separate email account where we logged on and subscribed to every elected, state, local, and official in the state, so we are real-time getting every information that they push out, and we're not overwhelmed within our own database and our own email flow. That anything to add on the tools and strategy?
No, I think that those are obviously the suite of the tools we're using, and outside of what's taken place over the last month, average age of people in decision making roles in government is really now, in many ways, the group approaching, at least the group that grew up with social media. So it is, as you probably have seen, becoming the most effective way to make sure that the message, if you are at a business that part of a larger trade organization, a trade association, or even your business itself that relies on, you know, strong message into government leaders, policymakers, that really has become, and what we're seeing is it's obviously even more significant at a time like this when all of their information, almost all of it, is coming from there. It's not coming from in-person interactions, whether it be in the Capitol building, whether in a state office or federal office building, at an agency, and that's really where they're getting most of their information. What I will say in using some of these tools is, at a period like this, again, in the last month, and I assume for the next probably 60 to 90 days, we are finding that there is more discretion at a lower level in government at this point, where leaders of agencies and governing bodies, legislatures, are so consumed with day-to-day significant decisions they're making that there's a lot more delegation. We have found that interesting. What I think is going to happen, however, in probably a short period of time is that people are going to be rolling that back as we settle in for maybe the long haul here. That will change, but I have found it interesting. At a lower level in agencies, particularly, people are more willing to step up, take a risk, and make a decision.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And to echo one of Pat's earlier points, always remember many of these key top officials in both a senator's office in Washington or Congress in Washington or here in Connecticut are relatively young, and they're really talented. They're very hardworking. But for those of us who have been in practice or in working for many years, sometimes you forget that because they are really talented people, but they may be 25, 26, which I think one of the great parts of that is the work ethic, the entrepreneurial spirit of many of them. They're not beholden to sort of traditional systems and structures. They're just looking to get things done, to help constituents, to be assertive and helpful in that market. A couple other really quick things that may be helpful to you, again, sharing some best practices we've learned over the last 3 weeks. For non-emergency contact, avoid Monday and Thursday. They are both probably the two worst days. We are focusing, if you have something where you need some attention and you don't want it to disappear into a long queue, Tuesday after 10 through Wednesday 5 o'clock, we found most effective. Monday is really where they get deluged from the weekend. I think some of them do turn off. I've noticed the 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on some agency responses. So while you are operating to keep your business alive and working over 24/7, always remember they may not be because of either family restrictions or issues they're dealing with. So a little tip that we found pretty effective for that. So in Friday as well seems to be a good day to get through either phone as well. Another point just to raise, despite our great Freedom of Information Commission, I think there has been a whole new separate level of communication through people's personal emails. If you get an email, one piece of advice, if you get an email or a cell phone call from someone and you don't know who it is when it's coming in, but then you're, oh, this is so-and-so, quickly save it. Those are going to become very valuable over the next 3, 6, 12 months. There's a whole level of communication and interaction going on with officials at that level. I guess we're obligated to say under law those are disclosable and should be open under the Freedom of Information law, but realize that's happening. So you may send something to Senate.gov or CT.gov. It may not be as quick if you have their personal email and can access that in an emergency. You know, now just to also stress that I think we've been talking to folks around the country in our business because we want to provide that sort of best connection on emergencies. But some of these programs have been ongoing, and we don't want to lose sight of that. So I think about ways you can stay relevant with them. There will come a point, and I don't think, Pat, we've hit it yet, but you and I have talked about it, where we will get more issue-oriented on our side. And for you all in business, direct, it may be a upcoming grant you're putting together, a program you're considering, a loan you may have booked, or a contract that's coming. Some of you may have noticed on the state procurement portal, and I know at the federal level, bids are going out. If you're a government contractor direct to the U.S. government, don't forget about that. I know while our lives seem distracted at this point, many of these programs, construction, definitely product supplies, are being pushed out really quickly. So stay on top of that. Make sure all your approvals are in place for that as well. And obviously, I think we talked a little bit about the Twitter, Facebook, and keeping those content. To the extent they're on those channels, I think we all have to be on those as well. We want to make sure that we're present in that conversation, and as issues come up and things, we want to be active and engaged in that. One other thing, just to echo again, Pat said, is sensitivity is obviously very important. Many of you and we are learning as we go. I can tell you I've been in touch with state employees who have contracted this, and that's a different kind of conversation. Obviously, you may not know that when you reach them. They're quarantined because of that. They're scared for their family. They're scared for people around them. They're scared for their coworkers. So this is the new normal for how you, I think, all of us will deal with these folks. And I think just a good piece of advice is to be very sensitive to that, that obviously you never know what people are going through in their own life, either personally or through those agencies. And so we want to be very sensitive to that. And again, I think a really good point pointed out by Pat was the dynamic of the sequencing will happen over the next 6 weeks and then obviously 6 months. I think there will be kind of a new order, a new structure that develops. Because we are in this kind of uncharted area, we may very well be in a fundamental realignment of how government interacts with the public, and so we'll be watching that.
Yeah, I think that's true, PJ. I know you're going to go to questions shortly. I'd like to make one more general, I guess it's an observation. You touched on a little bit at the top of the call that certainly here in Connecticut and federal government as well, we are operating with unprecedented power from the executive. I've never seen anything like it in 25 years I've been doing this. The governor has issued, PJ, close to 20 executive orders, I think, at this point.
Yep.
Is that right? 20 executive orders. The president did invoke war powers. So you are going to see at some point a pushback from both legislative bodies in Washington and in the state. We've seen this in small ways when a new chief executive comes in and kind of runs the table on a bunch of policy initiatives for a year and the legislature kind of takes a back seat. There was always a strong pushback. And that's the way our country has worked, right? Three branches of government, and they rise and fall given what type of leadership they have. But we've really never seen a state run like this before, broad, overreaching powers being invoked, I would argue rightfully, because public health and public safety is really one of the most important things a government official is charged with, right? But so this will pass. The government will get back to normal, but we will probably see an attempt to put the brakes on some of this as soon as people think we've got something close to the all clear.
Yeah, and if I could just close before we go to Q&A with just a couple things going off that. I mean, I think we always, people criticize our politicians. We're actually very lucky to have, and those of you who have engaged and know them personally, as I know many of you do and we do, really proud about how they are performing and stepping up. Not easy. They're going through tough times in their life, both the staff. Ann, this is for you, Melissa, Tony. Your whole team has been unbelievably supportive and engaged, so thank you. And, I think it's one of the good things that has come out of this is that looking to those people, again, partisanship has very much declined. I didn't say that, but I think I should. I've heard little or nothing in Connecticut about traditional partisanship advantage and gamesmanship. And that's been really encouraging and I think very positive we should all take away. Something very positive we should all take away is that when we're faced with this, we have some great leaders who are doing the right thing, working hard for us, putting aside the partisanship, and that can only help us in the long run as we go through this. So I'd love to open it up, Melissa, to question. I know many of the companies and people may have specific questions that we didn't touch on or if people would like us to expand on things. We thought it'd be great to do that.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, PJ and Patrick. Julie, could you remind the audience how they can register a question?
Yes, thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1. You will be prompted to record your first and your last name. Please unmute your phone before recording your name, and to withdraw your question, press *2. One moment, please.
And while we wait, PJ, I'll thank you for your kind comments about the Department of Commerce office. You know, our job is really to assist the business community in whatever ways we can, and certainly during this unprecedented time that we find ourselves in, you know, we're trying to be as flexible as possible in terms of meeting the needs of Connecticut's business community. So thanks again for those kind comments.
Thank you. It really has been very obvious how hard you're all working, and we appreciate it. I don't know if we want to.
Wait, Julie. Yeah, we do have a question. One moment.
Oh, great.
Wonderful. Thank you, Julie.
They did not record their name. If you asked a question, your line is open. Please announce yourself. Please hit your mute button.
I believe it was me. Ali Ibrahim. I'm with USCIP, the National Center for Healthcare Leadership. My question had to do, and I just wanted to thank you for putting this together. I'm really interested to hear more about the state-level contacts and how to access that in particular, you know, just to give you an idea of what I'm looking for. I work with a trade association, and our members are looking for ways to get PPE supplies, and so I literally have people, you know, on LinkedIn messaging me. And so, you know, we're trying to access the state level because that's what we keep hearing is that this needs to happen at a state level, but I've not been able to get through to anybody. And, you know, there's several people trying to access, you know, these contacts, but they're not online anywhere where you would think, you know, they should be.
Yeah, thank you for your question. If I understand it correctly, are you trying to get PPE to the state or do you need it yourself from the state?
So I represent 65 AMCs, U.S. AMCs, you know, across the United States. And so this is one challenge is that each of them then have to go on an individual, you know, like state level. And so we're trying to get PPE. We keep finding information about manufacturers and, you know, how they can help donate and give PPE. But we're hospitals looking to, you know, purchase PPE. We've even gone over, you know, to try to get some from China ourselves. And it's kind of, you know, there are scalpers and, you know, we reached out to commercial service. And so this is kind of how I got to the webinar today is we had commercial service kind of, you know, offer us some vetting services, but they haven't been able to reach the state level contacts either successfully.
Great. And thank you. I mean, I'll take it first and turn it to Pat. We actually are working directly in this space. So please feel free to contact me after. But let me tell you this, there are a lot of scammers out there. So people have to be really careful. This is a great example of why and the importance of reaching to the official state contacts. So in Connecticut, there is a specific office. They are working on this. They're both coordinating getting them and also coordinating information on how to get them out to individuals who need them. And it's actually been really encouraging. The governor, through his executive orders here in Connecticut, and I assume many others, have waived traditional bidding, purchasing, and RFP processes, and that's allowed some of these really talented staff to just get running, and it's been really exciting to watch. And I don't know if you have any thoughts, given our experience.
No, I think you covered that, PJ. Thanks.
So just get in touch with us. I'm happy to get you to that person. Obviously,
thank
a really
you.
Important need over the next few weeks.
Yes. I mean, there's so many hospitals that don't know how to navigate this, and they're very, like, frustrated, and it's critical.
I will point out, and I don't know if folks, again, this is not from any personal knowledge, just from watching Governor Cuomo on TV. He indicated last night that he is coordinating a similar effort among hospitals in New York where he will be the main individual funneling of all those. I would anticipate if that hasn't already happened here, our governor will follow that kind of model as well.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star one.
Listen, do you think they really love hearing my voice that much? I don't think they
probably have. Yes, PJ. And folks, if there are some folks who are shy on the call and don't want to ask a question on the call, I definitely encourage you to reach out to PJ and Patrick directly on the website where you registered as a direct connection to their LinkedIn pages and their contact details.
So one of the things, just we will post, and I may have not gone into great detail, but there's some great Connecticut website information, both email and phone numbers. The University of Connecticut maintains that as well, if folks have either UConn Health Center or UConn needs. And I assume, obviously, the access to that is it's public information. We just would provide you with some links to that. Again, highly recommend the coronavirus web page, which we'll provide the link to, which is a great clearinghouse of all information about executive orders, agency orders, waivers within agencies. And the federal government has, I think, a similar website for both essential and non-essential. Maybe we should talk about that, Pat, if there are there any other questions. But one other thing we didn't cover is this sort of last 7 days, this crush of what's essential, what's not, how do you change that? Just to point out, obviously, some states around the country, or if you're in other parts of the world and you're listening, you may not have gone through this, but under our governor's executive order, he did order everyone to not work other than essential workers, and there was a direct list published by Connecticut last Friday. And from that, there were specific carve-outs and ability for individuals to apply for exemptions. And, you know, again, there's been some unique kind of exemptions to that. Obviously, some of you see package stores here are open in Connecticut, deemed essential. Golf courses were denied and then allowed to be essential. And I think depending on the directional course of this crisis in our state and maybe nationally, you'll see that constantly reviewed. So I think it's important that within your industry, stay on top of that, work with your industry trade groups. Many of them have been doing a great job of speaking with one voice and or seeking the essential designation if needed. I think
it was an interesting exercise to watch government take this on as a role, right, to deem your business essential or not. I don't think they had a lot of practice doing it, and it certainly wasn't random. I thought they did a very good job, actually, with their initial list, but then it was a very long weekend of people hearing rumors that they're on it, they're not on it, and, you know, it is very rare. It's usually a giant weather event, obviously, where a governor will shut down a state and tell people that they can't open their business. And this was obviously going to be for either weeks or months. And the state ended up being pretty flexible. Again, it was a small group of people who were making the decisions. And, you know, government relations people were able to get to the right people in time and have a number of these things changed, I think, again, for the right reasons. The system worked well, but it was something that, again, that we'd not seen before on this scale, and the fallout obviously is going to be pretty horrific for some businesses. But again, there's public health reasons, and I don't know that is going to change dramatically over the next. I think that list is pretty set, unless things obviously get worse.
For those of you who are interested, most of Connecticut's direction, I think, was brought in from the Department of Homeland Security's Critical Infrastructure Association list. And so we'll post that as well. There's a link to that that may be helpful.
Do a quick check-in, Julie. Have there been any other questions?
I'm seeing no questions at this time.
Such a great job. Melissa, any issues you've heard about that we could speak to that you've gotten calls on or things you think maybe folks may be interested in hearing?
In general, we've gotten questions mostly surrounding companies who have capacity to produce, whether it's parts that can be used to make ventilators or other PPE equipment, that sort of a thing. So we've funneled them to the appropriate channels. Couple from the perspective of, you know, we are an essential business and we need PPE equipment. So again, we've channeled those to the appropriate folks.
One point it makes me a really good thought, Melissa. For those of you who are direct government contractors, don't assume everyone in government knows what you do, even though you've had a contract. I think it's a great time for two reasons to reach out to them. One, you may be able to help them with a specific need by what you do, manufacturing or others. There's a really aggressive effort underway within state and federal government to find and identify capacity for certain functions. So another and second reason is obviously just to stay in touch and stay top of mind with those folks. Probably wouldn't be a bad idea to just say, hey, just want to remind you to your contact, we're here. We have X number of employees. We work in this space. These are ISO certified. And I think we're finding a lot of folks didn't know that, and you may be able to quickly help in a specific area. And let me also emphasize, there's a significant amount of money coming from the federal government, as we all know. I don't think the state, if they identify a really critical need, is going to worry about traditional models of contracting, and they are going to move quickly and pay and get things done. I know it sounds kind of antithetical to what we've always experienced in government, but this is one of those times where if you are in an important area, we'd recommend you reach out and make them just let them know what you do. I don't think money is going to be an issue in that space.
And PJ, if I could add on to that important point, thank you for bringing that up. One thing that we're seeing, especially for companies who do have manufacturing capacity, and maybe it's not what you traditionally produce, but have, you know, the machinery and the engineering capabilities to help with whether it's respirators or other PPE equipment, please, we encourage you to update your websites. It needs to be spelled out kind of loud and clear at the top of your homepage that, you know, in response to the COVID-19 crisis, you know, you have capacity to do XYZ. Just make it very, very clear, because when, whether it's state or federal officials or other companies go onto your website and they don't see that spelled out, you know, they just may not have the time to hunt around your website to try to figure out exactly how you could help, you know, with providing any PPE equipment or other related equipment.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. You know, this is a time where people are going to be looking for that kind of participation. It contrasts, I guess, the difference between the UTC model and the GM model at the federal level, where I was very proud to see our Connecticut company, UTC, step up and just say, we're going to get it done. And then GM kind of had to be forced into doing it. So you can have that same kind of impact down at your level.
And let's do one final check to see if we have any other questions. If not, we'll PJ and Patrick will ask you for any final thoughts that you may have.
I am sure.
Julie, any questions?
No.
So PJ, Patrick, I'll turn it back over to you one more time before we close out.
Thank you so much, Melissa, Ann, and Tony. Thanks for your kindness and hosting this. I hope it's been a little helpful and maybe a little different from all the webinars and information you're getting out there. As we said, we'll post these links so people can utilize them, and happy to take anything offline if people have more sensitive issues they need to deal with. So thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you today. We appreciate everything you're doing out in the field.
Great. And again, PJ, Patrick, thank you so much for sharing your great expertise. We appreciate it. And thank you to everyone for joining the call today.
Bye.
Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.